friends that can't sing? Beautifully done. Beautifully done. All right. You know what? She'll probably end up marrying somebody like me that can't sing a lick. I can just see it now. That's what I'm going to pray for. Praise the Lord. Kids, all the kids that want to go to junior church through sixth grade, head on out if you want to head out with Mrs. Van Hall right now. We have a program for you, and you'll enjoy that. The rest of us, turn to Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. For those of you who've been here every week, you notice I didn't say Philippians chapter 4. I give you a break this week. But I thought about Memorial Day. Memorial Day is a day to remember. It's a day to remember. And so I wrote up, put together a sermon on remember the stones. Remember the stones. Again, in Joshua chapter 4, you'll have a wonderful story right here. And I'm going to give it to you, and I'm not going to take time to read it because I want to get right into the lesson. I want to give you two lessons at the end, but God wanted Israel to remember. And so he gave a command to Joshua to gather the stones together and put together a memorial so they would never forget. Again, you maybe thought that Memorial Day was original with America or with people. This is something God did many, many years ago when they crossed over the River Jordan into the land of Canaan. And God set up a stone, put up a memorial. And so you'll find that in chapter 4. So we'll go through that in the lesson. I'm just not going to read it, but I want you to see where it's coming from. But by way of introduction, the number of 40 in the Bible seems to be a representative of a time of transition. And I began to look up those numbers. It was Jesus who was 40 days in the wilderness before he began his public ministries. Did you know 40 years equal a generation? It was 40 days that they went into the land of Canaan to search out the land when they came out of Egypt. It was 40 years that Israel wandered in the wilderness because of disobedience. But it's interesting, in that 40 years, Israel just wasn't ready to go into the promised land. And we know that because they disobeyed God and didn't go in. But Israel wasn't ready. They had just come out of 420 years of slavery and bondage. They weren't ready to go into the land of Israel or into the land of Canaan and serve Christ. And God wandered them in the wilderness. He had for 40 years to teach them some lessons. They had to learn some lessons. They had to learn faith. They had to correct many of their habits that they brought out of Egypt. Israel had to be humbled. They had to be trained. But now, at this point, after 40 years, it's time to cross over and inherit the land of Canaan. Now, if you went back to Joshua chapter 3, that's when God told Joshua to prepare to go for Israel to enter the promised land. But in order to go into the promised land, they had to cross over the River Jordan to get into that land. Now, if you follow the text in chapter 4, you'll find this. And we know through history that this was flood season. To you and I, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference. Flood season, what does that mean? But for people who lived on the River Jordan, flood season was a horrific time. It was a powerful time. For the River Jordan at its flood stages where it's powerful and it was at its highest stage. To cross the River Jordan at this point during flood stage would seem to be impossible for man to do it. You just couldn't go across. The Jordan River is way too powerful, way too deep at that point to cross the Jordan River. Yet we understand and we know the principle that with God all things are possible. As Israel went into the land of Canaan, God did an amazing work as he stopped the River Jordan and allowed Israel to cross over during the flood season. Now, there was three reasons why I put down, and that you probably haven't thought about, why God did that. Why did God, during the middle of flood season, cause the Jordan River to heap up, the Bible says, and allow Israel to cross over on dry land into the land of Canaan? Well, there's three reasons why. Number one, to build up Joshua in the eyes of the people. You'll find that in chapter 4. as you read it through, God wanted to build up Joshua in the eyes, and Moses was the leader, but Moses was gone. Now it's a new day. It's a new direction. They're going into the land of Canaan, and Joshua was going to lead him into victory. And God wanted to, just as he built up Moses in the eyes of his people at the parting of the Red Sea when they came out of Egypt, at the first great miracle when they came out, and maybe one of the greatest miracles ever performed. And he wiped out the entire Egyptian army. He wanted to build up Joshua in the eyes of his people. So number one, he caused this to happen. Number one, to build up Joshua in the eyes of his people. But number two, to show Israel as they were embarking into this land of conquest, they were going to go into a war and they were going to take over this land and have them face many battles and things. God wanted to show Israel his strength and his power. What a way to do it, by heaping up the Jordan River and crossing over during flood stage on dry ground. What a great way to show his power to Israel. But there's also a third. If you read chapter 4 through and you look at it with an open eye, you'll find a third reason. It was to show the nations that God was the almighty, all-powerful God, the only God. Matter of fact, when he parted the Red Sea, that was talked about for years and years. And now he doesn't part the Jordan River. He only had to heap it up on one side, and then the rest of it flowed and dried. But as he heaped this up and Israel crossed over, it struck fear into the hearts of all the land. You don't think that got around? It went from nation to nation to nation to nation that this was the God, and people were in fear. They lived in fear of this God. They knew it wasn't Joshua who heaped up the river. They knew it wasn't man who built a dam. This was an immediate happening where God heaped up the river and stopped the river, and Israel went over into dry ground. And they lived in fear. This put Israel at such an advantage because they didn't fear, because Israelites weren't soldiers. They were slaves. They were wanderers in the wilderness. They were farmers. But they couldn't have done this on their own, but it was God, and the people feared God. So this is a wonderful, wonderful miracle that God does. And so when the priests, just to move on real quickly, when the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant were told by Joshua to step into the brim of the water carrying the Ark of God, and when that happened, the Bible says the water rose up upon a heap. The priests that bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went down and stood on dry ground in the midst of Jordan River. And all Israel passed over on that dry ground while the priests and the Ark of the Covenant stayed right there in the middle of the Jordan River. You know, again, a lesson that I just saw, a side note to give you on this, but I like the thought. When did the river heap up? You know when? When the priest stepped in to the water. They got their feet wet. When they got their feet wet, that's when God did the miracle. And I think there's a principle for us to have. Sometimes you just have to step into the water. Sometimes you have to just get your feet wet to see God do something special in your life. You know, we sit back and we don't move and wonder, well, is God dead? Is God not alive? Is God not doing anything? But maybe it, like the priests, I'm convinced of this. If the priests would have been afraid to step into the water and would have never stepped in the water, I personally do not believe God would have heaped up the Jordan River. But they got their feet wet and stepped into the water by faith, and they saw God do a tremendous miracle. I think there's some folks in this room that maybe that's all you're lacking, is just to step in the water and get your feet wet. Just jump in and serve him. Well, I couldn't teach. I couldn't do this. I can't do that. I can't do this. Just step in by faith and watch God work as only God can work. What a wonderful truth before we even get to the lesson I want to get to. Again, chapter 4 of Joshua tells us that when the people were clean passed over Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua and he said, take 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe, one man. I believe Joshua had to find 12 very strong men. For the Bible says these 12 men, one from each tribe, were to go down into the midst of Jordan where the priests were with the Ark of the Covenant, and they were to gather 12 stones to make a memorial. And again, just to save time, these had to be strong men. I believe that because they were to lift the stone, the Bible says in chapter 4, upon their shoulder. So this wasn't just a little rock they were going to pick up. This was a stone that they were going to pick up, and they were going to place it upon their shoulder, and they were going to carry it out of the Jordan River, and they were going to take it to Gilgal on their shoulder. And Gilgal, by the way, is 8 miles from the River Jordan, and they were going to carry that rock there, and when they got to Gilgal, they were going to build a memorial with these 12 stones. It was there at Gilgal that God set up a memorial to remind the children of Israel of what God had done in drying up the River Jordan. This was to be a sign amongst their children. When they would ask their fathers in time to come, the Bible says, "What mean ye by these stones?" In Joshua chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, it says, "This may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, 'What mean ye by these stones?' Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and when it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." It was a memorial. Again, somebody asked me this question the other day. Are those stones still there? I don't know, but the principle is there. The principle is there. Those stones were set up to be a memorial, a reminder of the greatness of God, the greatness of their God, the power of their God. When the children would forget and the children didn't see some of the miracles, when the children who didn't see some of the things happen, with the children one day that didn't see God part, maybe there were children that didn't see God drive out their enemies of Canaan. When those children would one day go to Gilgal, and they would see that memorial, they would say, "Dad, what does that memorial mean? What do those stones mean?" And he would tell them and remind them of the greatness of their God. A memorial of remembrance that was there to never forget that it was by God's power and by God's might that Israel came into the promised land. Israel, like you and I, are profound to forget. Now, before you criticize Israel too much, we're not a lot different than them. But if you go back to the book of Deuteronomy, which I did, this is before they ever got to this point. The book of Deuteronomy is before they ever went into the promised land. And they weren't even ready to go in the promised land yet. They were still wandering in the wilderness. But God gave some commands like Deuteronomy 4:9, if you went back there, and I'm just going to read it for you real quickly. "Only take heed to thyself and seek and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things that thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of your life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." Deuteronomy 4:9 simply gives us a warning to Israel. It's to remember and not forget. So often, it's easy to forget that it was God that gave them the water in the wilderness out of the rock. It was God that gave them manna each and every day. It was God that gave them the quail from the heavens. It was God who gave them their health and kept none of these diseases upon them. It was God who provided them heat during the night by the pillar of fire. It was God who led them and provided shade by the day, cooling by the day through the cloud that led them. It was God that protected them from their enemies. They said, "You got to remember that it was God. It was God who gave you all these things. It was God who led you. It was God in his greatness." He said, because when you forget, you sort of take credit for it, then you fail to teach your sons and their sons. And the next generation knows nothing about the greatness of God. He said, don't forget. Remember. Israel, or God knew Israel would forget. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, I wish I had time to read all this, 10 through 15, he said, remember. He gives them that warning that when you go into this land of Canaan, when you go into this land that's just beautiful, and you have houses full of good things, and thou fillest them not, you're gonna inherit houses that are already built. They're already gonna be there. Matter of fact, the cupboards are gonna be full. You're gonna inherit all that because of the fear of God, and God caused hornets and different things that these nations just left everything they had. They were completely built. He said, you're gonna inherit houses that you don't have to build. You're gonna inherit things in the house that you don't even have to supply with. You're gonna inherit wells that are already dug. You're gonna inherit orchards that are already planted, wheat fields and corn fields that are already put in place for you. When you get all those things. Please don't forget that these are gifts from God. He said, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name and not go after all the other gods, for God is a jealous God. Lest the anger of God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from the face of the earth. He said, remember. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 16, he said one more warning. He gave to Moses and told the people not to forget the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his statutes and his judgments. Lest when you've eaten and are full, And you built godly houses and dwelt therein, and the herds and the flocks and all that you have, if you forget your God, God's judgment will fall down upon you. Don't forget. Don't forget the Lord thy God. It is thy God that's why God set up a memorial stones, I believe, in Gilgal to remember the power and the magnificence of the God they serve. A lesson we need to learn from the Israelites is that it's easy to forget what we started with and what we now have. Excuse me. We so easily forget that God is the source of all that we have. He alone is the source. God told Joshua to put up the stones in remembrance so that Israel would not forget all that they have. It was because of his power and God's might and God's grace. And to teach your children that it was by God that we received all this. It wasn't because of what we did. It's because of God's grace and God's power. Now, let me bring this down to earth a minute for us. Simply, if I could put this, Israel or America's literally falling apart. You know why? I think we've failed to remember. Today is set aside to remember those who gave their lives, but you know what we've forgotten? That it was God who's blessed America. America has freedom, and I appreciate the men and women who died and gave their lives, but it was God who gave us the freedom. It was God who gave us everything we have, and we've forgotten that. And because we've forgotten that, we failed to teach the next generation their sons and their sons. We have a generation today that knows not God. We have a generation today that has fallen into spiritual idolatry. People will always worship something, folks. Yet today, more and more, it's not God. They have not learned that they cannot buy peace, this generation. They cannot buy joy or comfort or safety, for all these things are gifts that come from God. And you know what? Just in a practical sense, I think God has set up some stones of remembrance for us so we will not forget God. See, back in that day, he had Joshua built a memorial to remind them of his power and his greatness and his might, that they could teach it to their children and their children and their children, that there'd be never a generation that forgot that everything they have and everything they are comes from God. But you know what? I think God has set up some stones for us so we won't forget. And I want to give you two of those stones. I think the first stone that God has given us so we won't forget is God has given us the church. And I want you to see it in a little different light. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, it says, I say unto thee, Jesus said, thou art Peter. He's talking to Peter, and he said, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It wasn't upon Peter that the rock was going to be built. This church, this rock, upon this rock. What was the rock? The rock was the testimony of Peter that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, upon the testimony, Peter, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, upon that rock, upon that stone, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So if you see it from my perspective, it's a rock. The church is built upon a rock. It's the rock that it was built upon. It's a stone of remembrance. God has given the church to us today to remember the goodness of greatness of our God. I think the church is the most amazing thing that God did, and he knew we needed it. And I tell you, the church is a reminder. It's a memorial. And I wrote down some ways. Number one, every time I walk in this building, and we have many guests here that know nothing about this building. This building was built by literally the people, the men in this church. I have pictures of them going up on the beams. We even had one man that fell off the beams and came falling down, and thank God he fell into a pile of sand and not on the hard ground or the cement that was down below. God spared his life. But every time I walk into these doors and open those doors out there and walk into this building and see that educational wing that God has given this church, and then this auditorium, and then behind us where we have our fellowship hall and gymnasium set up, it's just a massive facility. It's a beautiful facility that I have. And every time I walk in those doors, I'm reminded of the greatness of my God, that this church has never been a huge church. Matter of fact, when I came here, it was running 27 people. How do 27 people build a church? And by the way, this church is completely paid for. We owe not a dime on any of it. That's the greatness of my God. This building, just simply, and I know the building isn't the church. You are the church, the people. But this building just reminds me of the greatness. Every time I walk in those doors, I'm just amazed at what God has done, what God has given us. And we've got our garages and our vans and all the facility we have in the woods and everything around here. I'm just reminded every time I step in this church of the greatness of my God. It's a stone of remembrance. That's why I think church is so important. It's there to remind you of the greatness of God, just literally by the building. But number two, it reminds me of the greatness of my God by just the people. I look at the people here. I look over the last 2 years, how we've went through some serious health issues like everybody in the world has. And I've seen the mighty hand of God, how he spared some people that should not be alive today and would not be alive today apart from the hand of an almighty God. And you hear me talk about it often, but Matt's sitting here. He's a miracle of God. God spared his life through that time. He's a living miracle. Again, some of you don't know, but we have a man in our church that went to Mercy Hospital with COVID. I mean, he was sick with COVID. Matter of fact, he couldn't even get up. They had to bring the ambulance and take him there. And when he got there, they put him right in the COVID wing and put a ventilator on him and all the stuff that they do. And they it went all the way down to a 10% or even a 5% chance, they told his wife, of him living. I went up to the hospital and met with the nurses that were there. And my people have heard this many times. But I said, what's the next step? They said, we don't know. Because everybody we've ever put on the ventilator at Mercy Hospital in Muskegon has died. Tom kept living. He kept living. And I kept asking, what's the next step? We don't know. He's the first one to ever survive being put on a ventilator and come off it. Listen, every time I walk in the doors of this church and see this congregation, I see some of the miracles, and I know my God's a great God. My God is capable of doing anything. It's a memorial, a stone of remembrance, the church. Well, I could tell some stories about some people out here if they hadn't got saved, where their lives would be. They were going in the wrong direction and going in the wrong way. And I only by the grace of God, I have no idea where they would be apart from Jesus Christ saved them and has changed their lives forever. Folks, that's the stone of remembrance. That's why God gave us the church, to look at the people and say, man, God is an amazing God. God is an awesome God, because some things that happened in this church that only, I call them, they're God things. People who faced death and went through death, some way that God orchestrated things, only God could do it. And the people in this church remind me of the greatness of my God. The church. But it's not just the building, it's not the people, but we do the Lord's Supper here. And I'd like to think, apart from a local church, a church, you don't practice the Lord's Supper. That was given to the church to perform. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. Once a month, we practice the Lord's. At this church, we practice the Lord's Supper, and we take the Lord's Supper, and we focus the whole service on Jesus Christ and his death, his burial, and his resurrection, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we give glory to God, and we take of that bread, and we take of that juice, and we drink it to remind us of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. This church is built to be a remembrance, a stone of remembrance, to remind us of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. He saved us, folks. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. I think you forget that. I think you go about in the busyness of your schedule and forget that Jesus Christ had a crown placed upon his head. The cat of nine tails whipped him, the flesh right off his back. He was beaten. He was mocked. His beard was plucked off his face. The nails were driven in his hands and his feet, and he went to the cross. And God turned his back upon him, and in 3 hours of darkness, he took your sins, and he died for you and for me. Without the church, sometimes you'd forget that. See, God's given us a stone of remembrance. Upon this rock, I will build my church. It's partly the people, partly the building, and partly the Lord's Supper. But I'm reminded that it's partly the missions, that we have a chance to fulfill the Great Commission. As you give your finances, a lot of our budget goes toward missionaries that are all across this world right now taking the good news on 6 continents out of the 7. We've got missionaries that are there presenting the good news of Jesus Christ, giving people a hope that they don't, otherwise, apart from the gospel, they have no hope. It's just a reminder to me that God can send missionaries all over this world to accomplish his plan and his purpose in our lives. It's the church. Now, I'm not trying to be mean, and I'm not trying to offend anybody here, please, but hear me out. I didn't hear this on Family Life Radio or Dobson or anything like this. I got these statistics off 106.9 FM. Justin was given some statistics about a year ago, and some of you have heard me talk about this. But he's talking about faithfulness in church, to how it's changed over the years. And the standard right now in America is this. Eight weeks of church. If you attend 3 services in 8 weeks, you're considered to be a faithful member. Now hear me out. I didn't say three Sundays, 3 services. We have 4 services a week here. 8 weeks, that's 32 services. If you attend 3 out of those 32 services, by world standards today, you're considered a faithful member. I'm telling you something, folks, and I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm not promoting Faith Baptist Church here, but you need to be part of a church. You need to be, that's not faithfulness to a church. When you can fit it into your schedule and go 3 times out of 32 services, and that's considered faithfulness? No wonder we have a generation who knows nothing about their God. The church is here simply to remind you just by this building of the greatness of our God, how it's debt-free, everything's paid for. Man, the people and the miracles that God's done and he's doing in the way he orchestrates in their lives, or the Lord's Supper that we remember, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, where we send the gospel worldwide. The church is here to remind you that we serve a great God. And those who aren't faithful into church, I'm not saying they're wicked. I'm just saying they fail to forget. They fail to forget because they're not reminded every day of God and his goodness. And we've lost a generation. The stone of remembrance. God set up a stone of remembrance in Gilgal to remind the next generations of his greatness. But God's put a stone for us. I think it's the church. But there's a second stone. I'll just give you this real briefly. The second stone that he's given us is the Word of God. In John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the Word. And the Bible says in Psalm many times, it says, Jesus is the rock of our salvation. I believe the second stone that God's given us for remembrance is not only the church and being faithful to the church to remind you of his goodness and his greatness, but number two, he's given us the Word of God. Israel didn't have the Bible written then. Israel didn't have those memories. They couldn't go back and read some of the greatness of their God. They couldn't see the stories. They couldn't see the miracles that Jesus performed. He hadn't performed them yet. They couldn't see some of the creation and all those things. They didn't have the very written Word of God, but we do. God has given us this stone to remind us of his greatness. We must love his Word and cherish his Word and read his Word and meditate upon his Word. It needs to become the focus of our lives. Listen, I'm just not satisfied with you saying you read the Bible once a week. That's not enough. You will fail to forget. You need to read the Bible on a day-by-day basis. Now, I'm not talking for hours, but there needs to be a time where you go into God's Word and read his Word to remember some of the stories in the Old Testament and what took place in Egypt, what took place in the wilderness, what took place in the land of Canaan, what took place with Jesus as he healed, as he fed, as he did the miracles. We need to remind ourselves of the greatness of our God. Just a preaching once a week isn't enough. I need to remember my God. I'm so thankful. Dr. David Gibbs came to Pensacola when I was a student there. Preached a message about reading the Bible from cover to cover. And he challenged me. Now, there were 900 students plus all the faculty and staff, probably 1,500 of us in an auditorium, so he wasn't speaking to me. But that night, he was speaking directly to me. And he asked me the question, have you ever read the Bible from cover to cover? You say it's your rule of faith and practice. You say it's the standard by which you live, but have you ever read the Bible from cover to cover? Do you read the Bible every day? If the Bible's so important to you and the Bible's so important to Baptists and the Bible's so important to your religion, have you read the Bible? And it's like I was the only one in that auditorium. And the tears began to stream down my face, and he gave the invitation. And I went down and I fell on my face before God. I said, God, I'm so sorry. I've forgotten. Man, during just before I went off to college, I tried to kill myself twice. I had no reason, no hope, even though I was a born-again believer. I had forgotten my God. Boy, I tell you what, I went back to my dorm room. I sat in my beanbag chair and I read the Bible. I read 20 chapters in Genesis. And the next day I read 20 more and 20 more. And it was about 6 months that I read the Bible from cover to cover. I can't tell you all that I read. But I can promise you this. It transformed my life forever. I think it just simply reminded me of the greatness of my God. See, we've forgotten. Maybe some in this room, you've forgotten that God is an almighty, all-powerful God. God is an unbelievable God. You fail to remember. But to make that not happen, God said, I'm going to give you some stones. I'm going to give you this rock. Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church to remind you by the people, by the building, by Lord's Supper, by missions, by taking the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm going to remind you of my greatness, that it's only by God can the church function. It's only by His goodness can we even function on a day-by-day basis. We're so dependent upon Him. The second stone He given us, the rock, which is the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ. If you'll take this book and you read it, you'll meditate upon it, and you think about it, it'll change your life. You know what you'll do? You'll share it with your children and their children and their children. Somewhere, this millennial generation, Generation X, I'm not necessarily blaming them. But if you look at them, they've forgotten God. They say three services out of 32 is considered faithful. They probably would say, as long as you own a Bible, and it doesn't matter what version it is, it doesn't matter what it is, as long as you own a Bible, I guess that's good enough. But I'm going to tell you it's not good enough, folks. God has given us the stone of remembrance of the church to remind us that He's a great God. But He's given us the stone of remembrance of the Word of God to remind us of His power and His strength and His goodness. That's what Israel had in Gilgal, a stone of remembrance to remember their God. Can I ask you one question this morning? I'm through. Are you remembering your God? Daily. Every time you walk in the doors of a church, how a church can function, I don't know. That's only by the grace of God. How the church can be such an impact in the world, that's only by the grace of God. It's only a God thing. But this book, I can't explain it all. But this is a powerful book. I know how powerful it is because it changed my life forever. That's why I read it every day. That's why I think about it, because I want to know about the goodness of God's greatness and His power and His might. Are you remembrance? Stones of remembrance, the church and the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, help us now through this time. Lord, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm asking our folks to examine their hearts. Israel forgot. When they forgot, they lost a generation, and then the next generation, and pretty soon they received the judgment of God. They went into captivity, and God took away their land from them. Oh, one day You'll give it back to them. You've promised that, but for right now, Israel doesn't have the land that's theirs. The little part of Israel isn't even a portion of the land they once had. And I'm convinced it's because they forgot their God. But You'll take away our churches today. They'll shrink down in number. Even in Christianity today, because we forget our God. We're going to lose a generation that knows nothing about our God, and they're going to go the way of the world. And then the next generation's even worse and worse, until We totally leave our God. But thank you for the stones of remembrance. Thank you for the church. Help us to be faithful to it. Help us to, every time we walk, step in these doors, to realize the greatness of my God. Help us to look to the stone of the Word of God. It's all true. Everything that's written in there, from the story of Jonah to the creation of the world, is happened just like the Bible says it did. And that can only be a God thing. God, help us to remember. Now, with every head bowed,